If you would, open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 17 and verse 6. John 17 and 6. We've been on prayer as we go through this season of prayer. Now we have Jesus. He's already prayed for himself. Now he's praying for the disciples is where we pick it up. Jesus had been explaining how he is God in the flesh. It took us to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that is made. Jesus Christ created everything. The word made means that it came into existence and was finished at the same time. So we thank God for his word. And now we pick it up where Jesus is praying for his disciples. Okay, for those of you who are taking notes, which I would suggest and recommend that we do, five things that we learn from this prayer with Jesus praying for his disciples. Five takeaways from this prayer. Bless you. Number one takeaway. We should pray daily for others. Jesus is praying for his disciples. There's someone who you are mentoring. It could be your kids. It could be a neighbor. It could be some. You should be praying daily for them. We all should have someone that we're praying daily for. If Jesus prayed for his disciples, how much more should we pray for our spouse and our kids and our friends and our family and our coworkers and our loved ones? So the first takeaway, we should pray daily for others. Also, make a note that this is days before Jesus arrested, crucified, and killed. So he doesn't have time to waste. Jesus doesn't have time to waste. When you know your life is over, you don't waste your breath. Why would you waste your breath on prayer if it's not real? He's getting ready to die. He says, I need to pray. First, he prayed for himself. Now he's praying for his disciples. He's not fooling around. Family, I want you to catch the urgency of this prayer, the seriousness of this prayer. This is not just, we're going to pray, then we're going out to eat this. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to die. It's pretty serious, Jerry. That's a little different than, hey, brother, let's pray, then we go out to eat. Hey, and then let's go catch the game later. Amen? Amen. That's a little different. That's cool to do. I'm saying that's okay. That's what I'll probably do today. Amen. That's all right. Lord willing, I hope that's what I do today. Somebody say amen. Amen. It's a little different than going, I'm going to pray for my disciples and I'm going to go die. So the first takeaway is that we should be praying daily for others. Number two, God is real. Jesus shows us that God is real. He communicates with God. He wouldn't be praying if it wasn't real. Number three takeaway, God is listening. So not only is God real, but God is listening, because even if God is real, if he's not listening, then what's the point of praying to someone who's not listening? Right. Wives, what's the point of talking to your husband when he's not listening? Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The game was on last night, Big C. Oregon and who they play? Kansas. And Tracy was trying to, I forget what Tracy was trying. She said, look, she's like, hey. I see this isn't going anywhere. I'm like, Tracy, really? The game's on? Okay. We will talk later. What's the use of praying if no one's listening? Wives, right, come back later when the game's on, if no one's listening. Our husbands cut off the TV, hit the pause on the TiVo so I can listen or something, right? Either way, whatever works at the time. Oh, I'm trying to be serious this morning. Amen. Number four, God responds to prayer. So God responds. When you start praying, God sits up. When you pray that prayer from your heart, God sits up. That's number four. Number five, God answers prayer. Yes, no, not now. You're not ready. You think you're ready, but you're not ready. That's an answer to prayer.
Amen.
Five takeaways. Even before we get into the prayer, those are five takeaways before we start the prayer. Praying daily. God is real. God is listening. God responds. And then God answers the prayer.
Yes, he does.
Here's Jesus. He starts in verse 6. He says, I have manifested your name unto the men. Okay, to the men which you have gave me out of the world. Wow. He said, I've exposed your name. I've made visible your name. I've made known, I've declared your name. So I've exposed your name. And that's, as Christians, we should be exposing God's name. Even in the midst of our agenda should line up with God's agenda, and we should be exposing God's name in the midst of our agenda. And then here's the question I have for you. Who has God given you? You should be exposing God's name to somebody who he's given you. Somebody you should be discipling. Someone you should be sharing the word with. Who has God given you, and are you exposing God's name? Our name has to take a back seat. Our brand has to take a back seat. Our agenda has to take a back seat so we can expose God's name. Jesus said, I've exposed your name to the men that you gave me. So God has brought people into our life who we have to expose his name to. He said, they were thine, they were God, they belonged to you, and you gave them to me. And then they have kept the word. So God has given us people to share the gospel with. They belong to God. But then here's the key. They have to make the choice to serve God. These men had to make the choice to serve God. They were not wound up toy robots programmed to serve God. They had to make a choice. You and I have to make a choice. It's called free will. And we have to make that choice to serve God or not. As we'll see, one decided not to serve God, and he had to deal with those consequences. Although God had given them to Jesus, they still had to make the decision. God has given us to Jesus, and we have to make the decision. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Underline, no, they are sure, they are convinced that all things whatsoever you have given me are of thee. They were convinced that Jesus and God were connected. They were convinced that Jesus had a direct connection to God. If you look at John 16:31, Jesus asked them the question, do you now believe? Do you believe now? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, do you believe that Jesus Christ has a direct connection to God? Isn't that something? And we know the easiest time to serve God is between 9 and 10:30 on Sunday morning. The easiest time to believe that is between 9 and 10:30 on Sunday morning. But tomorrow, when you get that call, tomorrow, when you walk on that job, tomorrow, when you get that pink slip, do you still believe that Jesus Christ has a direct connection to God? When you get the call from the school that your kid is acting up again, or the kids get the call at school that your parents are acting up again.
Right.
Do you still believe that Jesus has a direct connection to God? I mean, I think I shared it before. That's what I struggle with. When the week comes, when Monday through Saturday comes and everything that comes with it, And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And then the week hits, and do I still believe that there's a direct connection? That everything he said is true. Everything concerning my life is real. As I'm studying this, I'm trying to examine my own heart. Do I believe that Jesus had a direct connection to God? But look what it says in verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me. Here Jesus and God, he's praying to God. They're listening to Jesus pray this prayer. They're watching Jesus pray this prayer. He's told them, I'm getting ready to be arrested and killed, and I'm getting ready to pray. And they see him talking to God. I mean, just catch the spirit of this prayer, the circumstances, the context, and the content of this prayer. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me. He's talking to God. God, we are connected. Everything that you told me, I told them. And they have received, underline, they have received them. And they have known surely, they are confident, they are convinced that I came out from you. God, they believe that before time began, I was with you. They've received it. They've accepted it. They're assured of it. They're convinced, they're confident that I came from you, and they have believed. They're submitted, they're surrendered, they're committed, they're sold out that that you did send me. Right. So make sure you underline they've received, believed, and they're convinced. So three things you got to pray about tonight. Have I really received it? Or is there another way? You got to ask yourself, is there another way? Or have I really received the word of God that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? And no man comes to the Father but through him. Jesus said in John 15, 23, which we went over, he said, if you hate, he that hates me hates my Father also. Jesus said, you can't say you love God and hate me. The world says, I'm cool with God. I just don't like Jesus. I don't believe Jesus is with Jesus. And no, stop. John 15, 23. You cannot hate me and not hate my Father. That's the trick of the world to try and get us to love God and hate Jesus. I just want to thank God for this opportunity. What about Jesus Christ? I'm cool with that. He's divisive. I don't get into people that separate people. I'm inclusive. Read John 5:23 for yourself. Jesus said, if you hate, he that hates me hates my Father also. So you mean Jesus and God is that tight? That they're one? Yeah, that's what he's saying. You can't separate the two. If you love God, you love Jesus. If you hate Jesus, you hate God. So verse 8, he says, if they've received him, they're convinced. I'll tell you why that's a game changer. Because it changes the focus of your life. In addition to serving the people, we are concerned about their eternal soul. So I just don't go to work and help people out at my job. I just don't come to church and say what's on this paper. I'm really concerned about people's eternal soul. My mission becomes Jesus Christ's mission to seek and to save those that are lost. Christ has come to give us life and that more abundantly. So when I believe that Jesus Christ is directly connected to God, it changes the way that I treat people. Changes the way that I treat my family and my spouse, my friends. It changes everything. It changes the way I treat my church family. Because I'm really concerned about your eternal soul. Concerned about you as a person, but it goes a lot deeper. Verse 9, Jesus says, I pray for them. So I pray not for the world. Make a note of it. Jesus is saying he's not praying for the world. Because the world's going to do what the world's going to do. And we know that Satan is the ruler of this world. Hear what I'm saying? Jesus said, I'm not praying. Now, we pray for those that are in authority. But as far as praying for the world, we're not praying. Jesus, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those who you've called out that are in the world. If we, those of us that are saved, if we live like God's called us to live, the world would change. That's why Jesus is not praying for the world. He's praying for us, that we go out there and make a difference. Amen. Jesus said, it's not about what the world is doing. It's what the body of Christ, what the church is not doing. So I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for them that you gave me. Yes. They would get out there and do something. Everything would change. That our mission would become God's mission. And let me ask the question. If we believe that Jesus Christ is directly connected to God, then what is more important than the mission of God? What is more important than the mission that the Almighty God has given you and me? If we really believe that Jesus is directly connected to God and these are his words, then what's more important than following his mission and doing what he's called us to do? What supersedes that? Verse 9, he says, I pray for them. Make a note. Remember the five takeaways of prayer, of this prayer. And why would he be praying if it's nothing to it? Say, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. Verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified, celebrated, and revealed in them. Jesus said, what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. Right. Which is different from what we say. What we say is what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. Right. Okay, I got mine, I'm going to get yours too. That was in some of you all's wedding vows. What's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And that's it. Sign that prenup. Otherwise, it ain't happening. God and Jesus is totally different. Look at the connection. It says, all mine are yours. And all yours are mine. And I'm glorified. I'm celebrated in them. Is Jesus celebrated in your life? And that word glorified means made known, revealed. When people look at your life, do they see Jesus Christ being celebrated? Do they see Jesus Christ being revealed? Do they see the name of Jesus Christ being known in your life, in your actions, in your lifestyle? He said, they're mine. Amen. That's why we celebrate Jesus Christ. We make his name known. And we make his name known, we're making God's name known. And when God's name is made known, it's making Jesus Christ's name known. But here's a beautiful thing as I was reading this. Sometimes I have these things in my notes called read this. I think I got a couple here. So here's this. It says, family, make a note that God doesn't see you as you are. God sees you and I as his finished product. Remember, God made us. That word made means before we existed, he made us and he finished us at the same time. So he's talking to the disciples like the job is already completed. And we know that in just a minute, they're all going to deny Jesus Christ. They are going to turn into fearful cowards and they're going to deny Jesus Christ. But Jesus said, they're mine. They're going to fulfill what I've called them to do. He sees you. He doesn't see you where you are now. Let me read this. Okay. It says the disciples will become fearful cowards before they would become faithful and courageous comrades for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus is praying for them as he looks at their entire life, not just where they are right then and there. The worst thing you and I could do is judge our total life based on where we are right now. Youth, youth, youth. The worst thing you could do is judge your life based on where you are right now. You don't see the entire picture. It's called God room. We must allow some God room as we receive, believe, and are convinced, and let God work out the details. Trust God, embrace Christ, and let God through the Holy Spirit work out the details on this amazing journey called life. Do not judge yourself based on where you are right now. It's the worst thing you and I could do. Verse 11, he says, and now I am no more in the world. See, he's talking, Jesus is outside of time. They're probably listening to this prayer. What do you mean he's not in the world? He's right here, he's praying. But he's outside of time, and as he's talking about them, he sees them as the finished product. Look at Acts 4. Let's go to Acts 4 just really quickly. Natalie, take us to Acts 4 and 8. This is what Jesus saw when he saw his disciples. He didn't see Peter when he denied him three times, and he did see that, but he saw way past that. He saw way past Peter denying him three times and cussing a little lady out at a little girl. Saw Peter in Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, had said unto them, you rulers and the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. That's what Jesus saw when he was praying for him right there. He didn't see them being all fearful and scared and hiding and cussing out the girl because he was scared that he was going to kill him. He saw him filled with the Holy Ghost and making it known. And then, Natalie, take us to 4:19, Acts 4:19. I'm sorry, Natalie, go to 4:12. You know how distracted I get. What Peter's throwing down. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is what Jesus saw when he was praying for his disciples. Verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them both. That they had been with Jesus. That's what Jesus saw when he was praying for them. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. You cannot argue with a changed life through Jesus Christ. Then verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to listen unto you more than God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God. There it is. They made his name known. He saw them making his name known. All men glorified God for that which was done through them. For the man was about 40 years old whom this miracle of healing was showed. They made God's name known. Back to John 17. When he was praying for them, he didn't see them where they were right then. He was praying for them where they were going. When he sees you and I, he doesn't see us where we are right now. He sees where we're going. That's why Satan tries to kill, steal, and destroy. That's why Satan just conjures up so many schemes and spider webs and tricks for us to fall into and take our eyes off of Jesus Christ. To get distracted so we never make Christ's name known. We're worried about making somebody else's name known. We get caught up in the scuttlebutt on our job, or we get caught up in the world's political agenda, or we get caught up in the hood, or we get caught up in some other foolishness, or even we get caught up in church worried about what somebody's wearing as opposed to making Jesus Christ's name known. And when Jesus was praying for them, this is what he saw. And then next week, we're going to talk about when Jesus prays for all believers. He's on his deathbed. And he had the nerve to pray for us. And then we flip the switch and we don't want to have anything to do with God until we're on our deathbed. And then we want to talk to God. I'm so glad God is not like us. So glad God is not like us. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Underline that, Holy Father. Jesus shows how God is hallowed, how God is to be respected, how God is to be revered. How his name is not something that we call it when we use his name. He said, you're Holy Father. You're not, there's no curse word that goes with your name. It's Holy Father. It's revered Father. It's sanctified. It's set apart. Holy Father, I'm coming to you. Jesus is praying. He's modeling prayer to them. I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be as one as we are one. I got another read this. Jesus is praying for them because God has a plan for their life. All right? If we belong to God, then God has a plan for our life. God has an assignment for our life. Jesus is talking and praying about purpose, destiny that will change the course of the world forever. And let me tell you how that works for you and I. You and I have an assignment that is going to change someone's eternal destiny forever. It's that serious. Catch the seriousness of the prayer. Catch the urgency of this prayer. Somebody at your job, you're going to introduce them to Jesus Christ, is going to change their eternal destiny forever. That's serious. That's how serious this prayer is. Say, I'm no longer in the world, but these are in the world. Holy Father, guard them. Keep them. That word, what did he say? He says, keep them. That word keep means to guard, to take care, to watch, to protect. Have an eye out, to observe. Guard these through your name. And then here's verse 10 and 11, paraphrase. Jesus says, go out and make my name great. And then stick together and stay on the same page. That they may be one as we are one. Here's your assignment. Go out and make my name great. And then stick together and stay together and be as one. Even if you disagree, we talked about in our leadership meeting yesterday. Even if we disagree, we agree on oneness. Amen. Right. Amen. We're not going to start tearing each other down when we disagree. We're going to build each other up because we believe in oneness. That's what Jesus is saying right here. That they might be one as we are one. Because we will not accomplish anything if we're not on the same page, if we're not together. Amen. A house divided cannot stand. We can agree to disagree, but we agree that we're going to be one. And I tell you, family, that's just practical. That's what you did in your family. Or hopefully that's what you did in your family. I had 7 brothers and 2 sisters. And so we did not agree, but we were family. We agree we family. And I guarantee you one thing. I could have an argument with my brother, which I didn't. I never fought my brother. I just wasn't that tight. Plus, I didn't want to get beat up. But anyway. But I tell you what, we could not agree on some things in the house. And we'd go to the park and play ball. You let somebody touch one of my brothers. How are you going to find out? Oh, I thought y'all had an issue. No, that's my brother. Are you crazy? That's my brother. That's small. We won. We family. That's how it is with the church. I thought you wasn't. No, dude, that's my. You're not going to say nothing about them. You ain't going to say anything about my church family. Are you crazy? It's not going to fly around here. Same thing in a marriage. Have issues with your spouse. But you still got to be agree. You got to agree that we're going to be one. So you say, that's how the old folks knew how to stay married. I don't know what this younger generation is doing, but the old folks knew how to stay married. Most of them knew how to stay married. They're going to have disagreements, but they won. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't either. Okay. Get over there and fix me some dinner. Yeah, that's right. I'm not going nowhere. What God is saying is it's just so practical. It's just so practical. Let me read this and then we're going to have to go ahead and let me read. Listen to how Jesus and God are intertwined. And they want to intertwine God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit through us all together so that we could be one as they are one, that we could make God's name known and turn this world upside down for Jesus Christ. Because the mission of Jesus Christ is what truly matters. People are dying and transitioning and going to hell every day. And we're majoring in the minors, talking about stuff that has no eternal value and significance. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them. And have known they are convinced. Family, have you received and are you convinced this morning that I came, that Jesus Christ came out of God? And they have believed that you did send me. Although they're going to deny and they got issues and all this other kind of stuff, God sees them as they are. Finished. Came into existence and completed. God sees it right there. As I pray for them, I pray not for the world. I'm praying for the believers right now. Only the believers, because the believers can turn the world upside down. That's why he's not praying for the world. He's praying for the believers. But for them which you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, because we're that close. Whatever is yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. And I'm glorified in them. Last verse before we pray. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Family, we're still here in the world. I'm coming to thee, Holy Father. I'm going back to where I was. But guard them through your name, those who you have given me, that they may be one. As we are one. And that's where we got to stop this week. If you would, just pause and bow your head just for a minute as we tap into the five takeaways from prayer. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you. As we pray for those that you've sent our way. It's on our job, it's in our home, it's at the gym, it's in the grocery store. We pray for those that are yours, Lord. Since we don't know, we're going to make your name known that they might call on the name of the Lord and be saved. We thank you that you are real. We're not praying to a head of lettuce or a statue, but we're praying to the true and living God. We thank you that you're listening and that you respond and that you answer prayer. God, you're so good. Jesus wouldn't have wasted his time trying to pray to something that wasn't there the day before he was killed. He modeled for the disciples and he modeled for us. God is real. Pray to God. Believe, receive, be convinced, submit, surrender, sell out. Trust God like never before. And since God sees us as a completed, finished product, we need to live like it. So I'm praying now, Lord. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I need to take the first step. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you right now. We were privileged and blessed that two young men this morning in the Sunday school class said, I want to get saved. And we prayed for them. They had never accepted Christ into their heart. They said they want to do it today. And maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ, or I can't remember if I did. Well, then you don't have to guess anymore. You can be sure this morning. So you can have the power of Jesus Christ in your life through the power of his Holy Spirit and the Holy Father as well, because they're all three. They all go together. They're all intertwined. God wants to live in your heart this morning. He wants to radically change your life so you can see the plan that he has for you. If that's you, elevate your hand. Pastor, I want to accept Christ this morning. I've never accepted Christ, but I want to accept Christ today. Let me see your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need to rededicate my life. I've just been kind of just floating around and forgot all about Jesus Christ has a plan and an assignment for my life. I want to rededicate my life to Christ, and I want to line up with the plan that he has for my life. If that's you and you want to rededicate this morning, elevate your hand. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I want to join the church. I need a church home. From the worship to the word, I need somewhere to worship God and to pray and have people praying for me and to have a covering. That's you, elevate your hand if you're looking for a church home. Lord, how we thank you, how we bless you on today. I'm going to ask my brother Darius to come on up. I saw your hand. Darius stood up for rededication. He was in the class. Stand right here, Darius, right there. There you go. He was in the class this morning. And I thank God for those who bring the youngsters on in the morning time. And we just had it's a special class. That's why I was kind of late coming in, because God was moving in the midst of the youngsters that we had there. I'm going to ask my men to come up and surround Darius. Young 16-year-old, you'll be 16-year-old next Saturday?
April 1st.
April 1st. That's no April Fool's joke. And he comes up for rededication, already accepted Christ in his heart, 16. And Darius, all the men surrounding you, I told you I got saved at 17, so you're a year ahead of me. No, I rededicated my life at 21, so you 5 years ahead of me, which is outstanding. And the men surrounding you, we've all accepted Christ into our heart at some age. You get a chance, ask us and we'll share with you how our life has never been the same. And as a young man coming up, rededicating your life to Christ, it's the greatest decision you could ever make. So Lord, we thank you for Darius. His name means Lord. So Lord, we're praying for him right now, that this young man, you'd cover, you'd keep him. Lord, the assignment that you have for him, the completed work that you've already placed in his heart, Lord, we pray that you would bring it into fruition, Lord, that he won't miss anything that you have for him, that he'll be the godly man. He'll be a godly example for his friends, his family. Lord, that he will accomplish everything you've called him to do, that he would stay close to God. He would run to God. He won't run from God. And when he falls and he sins, Lord, that he would confess his sins daily like we all should be doing.
Yes.
And get up and run to you. So your word says that if we confess our sins, Lord, you're faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You've removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. You've cast them in the sea of forgetfulness and you remember them no more. We know the only sin that can't be forgiven is the sin that's not confessed. We know the only sin that can't be forgiven is when you deny Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So we thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. We thank you that Darius has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior years ago. And we thank you for this moment that he decides, as you placed in his heart, to rededicate his life as a 16-year-old young man in the high school, Lord. Cover and keep him, guard, protect him, Lord, as Jesus prayed. Observe him, watch out for him, Lord. Guard and protect this young man from all the schemes of the enemy. And let him continue to come to church and Sunday school class and be fed and be filled with your word. We thank you for his parents and his family, Lord. Thank you for Sister Hazel bringing he and Yahira here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that his life will never be the same. As we surround him as men, we bless him and we cover him as men, committing to pray for him, his future, his present, and all that God has for him. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, young brother. If you would, stand to your feet. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. In Jesus' name, hug someone and you are dismissed.